Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Judges. I'll be reading from the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 10. We don't hear scripture from the book of Judges very often, but this passage is the Old Testament passage in our lectionary this Sunday. And I invite us to listen to these words as they speak to us in our time and our place. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Haroseth HaGoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lippidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon, with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 warriors went up behind him, and Deborah went with him. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Our next scripture reading this morning is much more familiar to many of us. It comes from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I'll be reading verses 14 through 30. Let us listen for God's word in our lives. "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. For as this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I think it no coincidence that this reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew every 3 years always appears just around the time when so many churches' stewardship programs are coming to a conclusion. The case is true here at Trinity as we wind up our stewardship program. But I have learned many years ago that this parable is about much, much more than just getting a return on investment. And I would like to talk about some of those other nuances in this parable today. When I was a child, I would say a fearful child. There were certain things that I was just afraid of. And one of the things I was afraid of was an uncle. I had an uncle who had been married to an aunt, but they were divorced. And I spent a lot of time with my cousins, their children, but I never really encountered this uncle. All I ever heard was the one side of the story of their marriage about what a terrible person he was. And not ever even knowing this person, I was afraid of him. And one day I was at my cousin's house, which was just next door to my grandparents, and we were playing, and I heard that this uncle was coming by. And in my childish fear, I went and hid. I found a big brush pile back on the back part of my grandfather's property, and I hid underneath that brush pile. Well, what happened was the entire family ended up looking for me. I was in that brush pile watching them look for me, but I was so scared I would not come out. Eventually, my grandfather was the one that found me. I knew I was found when he started looking at that pile from about 20 yards away, and he was looking right in my eyes the whole time. Needless to say, I did receive some punishment for that. But as I reflect on that story, I never told anyone why I was hiding. I took the punishment, but never told my fear. And to this day, I have never met that uncle who has since died. But in talking with other relatives, I wanted to know about this person. And I found out years later in talking with my siblings and some other cousins that this man was just a regular person. He was just a regular person who was involved in a marriage that did not work out and that failed and ended in divorce. And there was no real reason for me to be afraid of him, other than what I had always heard about him. Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. The unfaithful servant in this story got what he was expecting. He was afraid and fearful, and that's what he received. Reread this parable. The rest of the parable does not in any way whatsoever indicate that the master was a harsh man. As a matter of fact, the story says he entrusted his property to his servants and gave them opportunities to use the talents given to them. It seems to be quite the contrary. He seems to be an encouraging, generous type of person. And the two servants who responded to this were treated well. The evidence indicates that the master was actually generous and fair. But for some reason, this one servant thought otherwise. And even though much can be said and learned in this story from the master and these first two servants, in the end, this is a story about fear. It's a story about fear and how fear keeps us from being who we truly are. I want to hold on to that for just a second. And I want to go to the first reading over in Judges. We encounter the nation of Israel living in fear again. They have been enslaved by this king for 20 years, the story says. And their judge, their leader at the time, is a woman. We're talking in our country right now about history being made that the United States has its first woman elected as vice president. How far behind the times we are. Israel had a woman leader in the days of the judges, Deborah. People came to Deborah with their problems. People came to her asking for advice. It was her that God spoke to. And Deborah calls on the leader of the army and says, "Muster the troops. We're going to take this guy on." And the guy, you can see the fear in the words. He says, I'll go, but I won't go without you. If you go, I'll go, but if you don't go, I won't go. And Deborah says, I'll go. I'll go with you. And our reading ends with Deborah going with him, leading him, overcoming the fear. The nation living in fear, and the woman leading them through that fear and out of that fear. And that's one thing that this parable tells us this morning. It tells us that each and every one of us has a calling in life. Each and every one of us has a talent. Each and every one of us has something to give. And talents can be seen as that essential something in each and every one of us that makes us unique. It's what author Paulo Coelho calls one's personal legend. Our essential purpose in life, from which all other skills, abilities, and expressions grow. Our talent, in essence, is who we are. Our talent is the self we have been given, with which to participate in the larger community of all the selves of creation. And so as we explore this parable, especially in a time of stewardship, we are invited to consider, what is our talent? What is our self? What do we have to give to others? We are each entrusted with a true self and given opportunity to be who we are. And then from the vantage point of knowing who we are given opportunities to participate in the larger community. Of course, this parable shows us what happens when we are not true to who we really are, when we cut ourselves off because of fear. We cut ourselves off. We literally throw ourselves into anguish, into regret, into worry, which may very well be just a different way of saying outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Putting all this in some religious language, it means truly knowing we are created in God's image gives us the freedom to participate in God's presence throughout creation, fearlessly. Because the only thing that prevents us from doing this is ungrounded fear. We think we are someone other than who we are. We've been told by religions we are sinners. But the scriptures tell us we are created good in the image of God. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was right when he coined that phrase many years ago, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It could very well be considered the primal message of the gospel, of the entire scriptures. Do not be afraid. The release of fear of being who we really are opens the door to genuine stewardship, which is full participation in God. God in whom we live and move and have our being, according to the Apostle Paul. author Marianne Williamson, who was a candidate for president a few years ago, has a famous quote. A portion of it says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us." Think about that. Many of us are actually afraid to embrace the fact that we literally carry the image of God within our lives, and we hide it. But Jesus reminds us otherwise. Jesus reminds us that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the presence of God. Jesus reminds us to not be afraid. Because fear paralyzes us. Now, I must add in these days in which we live, days of pandemic, this does not mean to not be cautious. There is a difference between being fearful and cautious. Fear does paralyze us, but caution slows us down. Because caution is based in knowledge. It's based in getting good information so that we can apply it to our lives in dangerous times. Fear is based on suspicion and rumor and innuendo and conspiracy theory. We are to be cautious, but not fearful. I read somewhere that fear and caution are like traffic lights. Fear is the red stoplight, and caution is the yellow light. Fear stops us. Caution tells us to pay attention, but continue to move. Do not be afraid. Do not hide your essential self. And I believe this is what Jesus tells us time and again. This is what the entire Scriptures tell us over and over. Those who do not fear, those who step out knowing that they are children of God, are the ones who move forward cautiously but not fearfully. Amen. My friends, let us go into the world wherever we are. And let us go fearlessly, but let us go cautiously. Let us go claiming who we really are. Let us go shining like the sun, so that all may know the love of God that is in and through and around and above and below all of creation. This, my friends, is good news. And it begins with, do not be afraid. Amen.